Also, one of the big major holes of September the 11th is the issue of fighter aircraft. What is available now to researchers is the FAA transcripts of exactly when it was known that the individual aircraft were hijacked versus when was the Air Force notified versus what was the Air Force's response. And we have a period of time of 50 minutes when it was known that four aircraft had been hijacked. Two had already crashed into the World Trade Center, so there's not much doubt about what's happening with the other two, when no fighter aircraft are scrambled to intercept. Now, the first shocking slap-in-your-face truth about this is the fact that whenever there's a hijacking, or even when an aircraft loses radio contact, goes off course suddenly, refuses to respond to a transponder request from the tower, that's where the pilot turns a little knob on the cockpit dashboard to a set frequency, pushes the button that lights the plane up on the radar screen. When those are not done, fighters are automatically scrambled. How do I know that? Well, everybody should remember Payne Stewart, world-famous golfer, hops in a chartered Learjet in Florida in 1999. They get up to, 30, 35,000 feet. They have explosive decompression. Everybody on the plane is killed. So much for the theory about that friendly mass dropping down in your airliner, by the way. The plane goes off course, and there were U.S. Air Force fighter jets flying beside it in less than an hour. They were notified within minutes, and that was automatic. That did not require presidential approval. Was it Golf Magazine, I believe it was, had showed that it was like, 30, 40 minutes before the planes got there. But they were notified immediately. Well, if we look at the FAA logs on September the 11th, we see gaps of 10, 15 minutes before anybody's bothering to tell the Air Force that we have hijackings, and this is after two planes have hit the World Trade Center. It gets worse. It gets much worse because two fighters we know were scrambled early on from Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts. Well, that's very strange, number one, because we know that there were fighters available in Atlantic City, much, much closer, that could have been sent. Air National Guard hot fighters, scramble-ready fighters from much closer. But they send these two F-15 Eagles from Otis Air Force Base, and golly gee, they get to the World Trade Center just a few minutes too late. I think one of them was actually filmed in some of the footage of the second plane hitting the tower. But if you look at the logs, when the second plane has hit the tower, it's already known that the other two planes have been hijacked. They're both off course. They've both been hijacked. The FAA knows you've got two more hijackings in progress. And you've got two now airborne fighters over Manhattan with a combat radius of 1,500 miles, fully armed, in the air, that can be on the other hijacked airplanes in minutes. And what happens? They're recalled to Otis Air Force Base. Why? Government won't tell you that. Then the government says, well, when we knew that 77 had been hijacked and 93, had made its turn and was coming back, we didn't have any fighters at Andrews Air Force Base. That's a total out-and-out lie. Several researchers have archived the Andrews Air Force Base website pre-9/11, which has quotes. We maintained scramble-ready fighters at the highest possible state of readiness. Around the country, most of the domestic air response is handled by the Air National Guard. And that doesn't mean that these guys are working at their day job. They have to get a call drive into work. Because Air National Guard units always maintain a ready reserve component. What's more importantly is that regular Air Force pilots rotate into National Guard units as a means of training the National Guard pilots and interfacing with them, but also to maintain the ready response capacity. Now, Andrews Air Force Base, right outside Washington, is the home of Air Force One. Do you think they don't keep any fighters there? Give me a break. I used to live outside of Andrews Air Force Base for a short time in 94, 95, when I was living in Washington. You'd see the fighters taking off all day, every day. Their website says that one of the Air National Guard squadrons had the immediate responsibility for ready response air defense protection of Washington, D.C. Are you going to tell me those fighters aren't ready? There's no fighters there, but no. What does Dick Cheney tell us? What does General Myers tell us on September the 11th? General Myers is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. The only fighters we had available were available in Langley Air Force Base, some 130 miles south. Then you do the math and it gets even worse. From the time that they were notified until the time that they arrived at the Pentagon, and the time that they took off, which is available, it shows that they flew from Langley Air Force Base to the Pentagon to get the last plane at about 530 miles an hour. They flew at subsonic speeds, less than a third of what they were capable of. Do you really think that Air Force pilots are going to fly at subsonic speeds to try and protect the White House? These are the simple tests of logic which pull 9/11 apart. There are so many more. But if I haven't got you now, you know what? I'm not going to get you. There's nothing I can say to you. If what I've told you now hasn't dislodged your brain from wrapping around your belief in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny, even as your pension fund is disappearing and your Social Security is gone, as criminal acts are being committed left and right. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. My official position is that the worst belief any American could have is, gee, we can solve all of this problem if we throw out George W. and elect Hillary. Give me a break. Okay? There is systemic evil corruption. It is above the level of political parties. There's only a few brave heroes in this country that are actually speaking out. And here I refer to Cynthia McKinney of Georgia, who spoke out and asked for investigations and asked some very logical questions. I'm referring to Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, a true champion of monetary reform. He's a Republican. She's a Democrat. Barbara Lee of Northern California was the sole member of the House to vote against the War Powers Resolution. And here, as we're on the brink of a very ungodly, ill-timed, ill-conceived, stupid invasion of Iraq, which I am certain will happen in the fall, September, October,